The reading this evening is from Luke chapter 24, and it is verse 36 to 49, which you can find on page 1062 of the Church Bibles. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Amen. Nikku, come and speak to us. I'm going to pray for you before you speak. Is that all right?
Yes, please.
Good. Father, thank you for Nikku, Lord. Thank you for how he serves you and loves you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you come now, that you would fill his words as he speaks to us. And we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds as he speaks and opens up the scriptures to us, that we would be changed, Lord, that we would become more like you by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ellie. Thank you so much. Just Mary Jane, is it?
Yeah.
I used to work at St. Luke's Old Court. Yeah, yeah. So, welcome. It really is a nice place. I'm still here 3.5 years on, so it really is a nice place, and it's really a privilege to be here with you tonight and to share a bit of this amazing story. In his book Storytelling, Imagination, and Faith, William J. Bausch shares this. This is a fascinating story. In the Greek Orthodox tradition, the day after Easter was devoted to telling jokes. They felt that they were imitating the cosmic joke that God pulled on Satan in the resurrection. Satan thought he had won and was smug in his victory, smiling to himself, having the last word. So he thought. Then God raised Jesus from the dead, and life and salvation became the last words. Now, I don't know how true that story is. It is April 1st, of course. I'm telling you this sort of thinking that it's true. I don't know whether someone is tricking me and therefore tricking you. But today, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate Christ's resurrection. It is also April 1st. And I can imagine the disciples' reaction to Mary telling them of Christ's resurrection being one of surprise and disbelief as well, like a bad April Fool's joke. But we find in today's reading that Jesus appears to them himself. In Luke 24, verse 36, it says this: "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Peace be with you. Jesus doesn't appear to his disciples with scorn in his eyes, giving them some stick for running away in his greatest hour of need. He doesn't start giving them instructions for taking over the world. Not yet, anyway. Christ's first greeting to the scared, guilt-ridden, despairing, uncertain, almost lost disciples is one wishing them all peace. Berit Kios writes in his book, A Wardrobe from the King. Again, this is a great story, and I'm going to try and paint this picture of the story as best I could in only words, and you'll understand why in a minute. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Picture this. If you want to close your eyes, do it. It's really a good picture, I can promise you. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? And this is what they saw. A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. The perfect picture of perfect peace. Now, peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but it's rather the confidence that he is there with you always. You see, the presence of Jesus is enough to drive out guilt, to drive out shame, to drive out fear and disbelief, to drive out despair in any and every circumstance. Jesus comes to each one of us today with the same greeting. Wherever you may be, wherever you may be coming from, whatever you may be experiencing on this day, he comes with the same greeting. Peace be with you. It's interesting to see how the disciples react to Christ's appearance. Luke 24, verse 37 says, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. They didn't recognize Jesus at first. Just like Mary Magdalene in the garden, they didn't realize it was Jesus speaking to them. They followed, ate with, listened to, and ministered alongside Jesus for 3 years, and still they didn't recognize him. I think we, no matter how long we've been followers of Christ, don't recognize him all the time either. I certainly don't. I miss him sometimes, more often than I would care to admit, at least. For whatever reasons, whether it is the way Jesus is portrayed in our churches, the way we are taught who Jesus is, or our own expectations sometimes, we sometimes don't recognize him when we encounter him. However, it is by Christ's grace that he opens up the minds of the disciples to the scriptures in verse 45. It is also by God's grace and the presence of his Holy Spirit that we can see and recognize Jesus wherever we are. Wherever we are. He is not contained to church buildings, however beautiful they may be. He most definitely is not contained to a certain time on a certain day of the week, like during Sunday services. He is not contained by the preconceptions of mere mortal beings. He is infinite. He is all-powerful. He is merciful and gracious. He is kind and welcoming. He is righteous and just. And I can go on and on. And I'm sure if we start now, we can just carry on all night just calling out the characteristics of Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is here now. Have you met him yet? Do you know him? Have you come across the living, loving Jesus? Have you recognized his voice when he speaks? Have you felt the pain in his wounds? Have you touched his hands, his feet, and looked into his eyes? We have the opportunity every day of our lives to encounter Jesus in some way. I find this quote by Irma Bombeck very encouraging. Seize the moment. Remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart. Think about that for a minute. Seize the moment. Seize the moment. We don't know when we'll get to meet Jesus face to face. We don't know when he might call us home or whether he'll come back before this happens. Are you ready? When Jesus opens up the minds of the disciples, he explains why he had to go through all of that. In Luke 24, verse 46 to 49, he says this. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." I'm going to tell another story. Dr. D.M. Stearns was preaching in Philadelphia. At the close of the service, a stranger came up to him and said, "I don't like the way you spoke about the cross. I think that instead of emphasizing the death of Christ, it would be far better to preach Jesus, the teacher and example." Stearns replied, "If I presented Christ in that way, would you be willing to follow him?" "I certainly would," said the stranger without hesitation. "All right then," said the preacher, "let's take the first step. He did no sin. He, Jesus, did no sin. Can you claim that for yourself?" The man looked confused and somewhat surprised. "Why, no," he said. "I acknowledge that I do sin." Stearns replied, "Then your greatest need is to have a savior, not an example." Thing is, we can sometimes get lost in the idea that we can earn God's forgiveness or earn his grace, or we have to do it we have to come to church, we have to do the religious things, we have to say the right words and sing the right songs and so on. But the message of the cross is that none of that will be good enough. There's only one sacrifice that could ever be good enough, and that is Jesus. And that is why he's the savior of the world. We all need saving. We've heard the good news of the forgiveness of sins preached to us. We've read the promises of a savior in the Bible, but all of that is worthless if Jesus wasn't raised to life again. C.S. Lewis put it this way: "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." I'm going to read that again. "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." When we say we are Christians and we believe in the resurrection, it changes us. It changes how we look at life. It changes how we approach life. It changes how we live our lives every day, or it should at least. It's an amazing, unbelievably believable story. Jesus Christ was murdered on a cross one Friday, and he was risen to life the following Sunday. He is alive. He is here with us, ready to forgive sins, to accept us into his body, to receive us with grace. With grace and with mercy and kindness. Have you experienced Jesus? Have you met him and accepted the forgiveness for sins he offers? Have you seen his relentless love in action in your own life? Jesus tells his disciples in verse 48 that they were the witnesses to all of this. So why don't we take a minute, just turn to someone next to you if you feel comfortable with that, and just share, just briefly, if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to, but just share briefly the last time you've experienced God's love. doesn't have to be really deep. It can be something like, I found a parking space at Sainsbury's right next to the front door. Whatever it is, the moment, just a moment when you felt, yes, Jesus loves me. If you want to share that, just a couple of minutes or a couple of moments. It sounds like Jesus really loves us by just by the murmur in the room. It sounds like Jesus really loves us a lot, and I'm sure he does. Listen to what John writes in 1 John 1, verse 1 to 5. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And if you want to open your Bible there, go for it. It's 1 John 1, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to read it out to you. It says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." I love this because it's so simple. It's so simple. There's so much theology crammed into these verses. But the main thing that John is saying is that I saw Jesus. I walked with him. I know him. I saw him do miracles. You know what? One day, we had a couple of loaves of bread and some fish, and he fed 5,000 men and their families. You won't believe it. I saw it happen with my own eyes. OMG. You won't believe it. One day, we were walking down the street, and a blind man called Jesus and he said, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus opened his eyes. You won't believe it. I saw it with my own eyes. You won't believe it. One day, Peter and I ran to a tomb where Jesus was kept. And the stone was rolled away. And I thought, oh my goodness, what have they done? And I was scared. And Peter ran in and came out with nothing. Because the tomb was empty. You won't believe it. I saw it with my own eyes. What did you see Jesus do with your own eyes? That is your message. When you have the answer to that, that is your message to the world. For me, I can say I've seen Jesus forgive and be gracious and be kind and be welcoming to me personally, but to many people around me as well. And it's the same Lord that is welcoming each one of us today. To say, come on in, you're welcome. You're welcome here. That's all we have to do. Wherever we are, whomever we meet, whatever we are doing, may our lives, our words, and our deeds testify to the living Christ whose love we have come to know and experience. And if you've not met Jesus yet, I hope that you will use this opportunity tonight to meet him. He is here. He's alive. He's been dying to meet you on Friday and is here to meet you today. This poem by Phillips Brooks puts it nicely. Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. He's alive. This is not an April Fool's prank. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Dr. Siemens tells of a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked him, "Why have you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions, and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork in the road were two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask which way to go? Let us pray. Father, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that you didn't leave us in Friday. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us to just hope blindly. Thank you, Lord, that you prepare us for, even when Friday is happening, that we know there is hope, there's a future. Sunday is coming. Thank you, Lord, that your resurrection trumps everything we might face. And thank you, Lord, that you draw us into new life with yourself. The same power that raised you from the grave is alive in us. And we ask for that power and that love and that mercy and just all you have for us, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, to come and fill us again. Will you show us you are here? Will you show us every day you are here with us? Lord, let us not confine you to some idea of who you are, but let us meet you face to face, personally. And let us testify to your love and power, your life, your victory to everyone we see, everywhere we go. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you because you are alive and you are here with us. Amen. Amen.